Turn holiday travel from stressful to rewarding. Rakuten helps you save big on travel. They give you cash back when you book with sites like Expedia, Best Western, and Hertz. Even better, you can stack cash back on top of other rewards, like airline miles, credit card points, and hotel loyalty programs. Rakuten partners with over 3,700 stores, including Away Luggage, Ray-Ban, and Macy's, so you can be prepared with all the travel essentials and, of course, cute fits for your trip. Keep the rewards going with cash back on holiday gifts for friends and family. With Rakuten, you'll never miss out on savings at your favorite stores. The stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Join for free and start your shopping at Rakuten.com or use the Rakuten app. That's Rakuten.
You guys, I am so excited. My new course on behavior, the Practical Behavior Approach, is officially done and ready to go. Enrollment is only open until April 30th. And if you are someone who is supporting a child with frequent challenging behaviors, listen in because this course is for you. This course was designed for any teacher, special ed or gen ed, clinician or parent working with a child with frequent negative behaviors. This course is going to prepare you with a comprehensive toolbox. You're going to have all the tools you need to prevent problem behaviors, respond when problem behaviors happen, and to build those missing skills. We go in depth into why behavior happens, looking at contributing factors like diagnosis, trauma, anxiety, and sensory needs. This is truly a cohesive course where strategies are rooted in the science of applied behavior analysis, but also rooted in trauma-informed practices. So you're going to have both perspectives to develop this really robust framework of strategies that is truly going to be effective. So if you are feeling burnt out, overwhelmed, or out of answers on how to support your kids, click on the link in the show notes and learn a little bit more about this course and how the training and all of the downloads and tools are going to really help support you on this journey to helping your child be successful. I can't fully express how excited I am to get this course in your hands. Click on the link in show notes. Let me know if you have any questions. And when you get started, let me know how it goes.
Hi, I'm Sasha Long, special ed teacher and board certified behavior analyst. Welcome to the Autism Helper Podcast. I'm here to explore different strategies to improve the lives of individuals with autism.
Let's talk about de-escalation. I have to say, as a young teacher, I read every book, read every blog article I could kind of get my hands on about reducing negative behaviors. And I really struggled because everything was really, really focused on how to prevent problem behavior, which now I know that's super important. I just did a podcast episode on 10 ways to reduce problem behaviors. But my worry and my big concern was always like, okay, cool. But like, what if the problem behavior happens? Like, what do I do then? Because believe me, I had a lot of problem behaviors happening in my classroom. And I was worried that I wasn't responding in a way that was effective. I didn't know how to safely de-escalate. And I was, you know, really concerned I wasn't doing kind of the right thing when problem behaviors happen. Am I reinforcing the problem behavior? Am I letting the child calm down? I was really in my head and I felt very unconfident in how I was supporting kids when big behaviors happen. So let's talk about this. Tantrums, meltdowns, crisis, episode, whatever it is, some type of big episode of behavior. We've all been there, right? As the parent, the clinician, the educator that is supporting that child, right? Those are the hardest days for you. They're the hardest days for the child as well. And let's talk today about how we can support a child through this meltdown or this tantrum and really get them through to the other end in a way that doesn't break rapport, in a way that keeps them and you safe, and in a way that can really still help you continue on with your behavior plans. In my new course, The Practical Behavior Approach, I have an entire module on how to respond when problem behaviors happen because, Like I said, I was kind of frustrated as a young teacher, like, okay, but I need to know what to do in the moment. What do we do here when behaviors happen? So in this course, I go through de-escalation, I go through setting boundaries, power struggles, logical consequences, all these great things that we can do to effectively respond when problem behavior happens. Today in this episode, let's specifically talk about de-escalation and when these extreme behaviors happen. So when we're in, when a child is in a meltdown and there's a crisis situation, this is really showing dysregulation, right? Dysregulation happens when emotions overwhelm our current coping skills. Remember, during childhood, that prefrontal cortex of the brain, where executive functions and emotional control live, is still developing. Our kids just don't have the skills yet to regulate themselves in challenging situations. And that's often what happens when there is a tantrum or some type of big meltdown. This is common for a lot of kids with autism, with ADHD, with oppositional defiance disorder. We see these big explosive behaviors happening. When these big behaviors happen, I want you to always remember that the goal is to safely get through the episode. That's really it, honestly. The secondary goal is that you should reflect and add in additional supports to prevent this in the future. But in that main moment, your goal is to safely get through the episode. Your goal is not to hold the line. Your goal is not to like use extinction. Your goal is not to not reinforce the behavior, you know, show them. Your goal is not to teach even, because that child is not in the place where they are ready to learn. They are in crisis mode. Their body might be in fight or flight. Their body is not receptive to learning or maybe even directions at that point. When our kids are upset and overwhelmed and in a crisis mode, that is when they need us the most. So the message we really want to send to them is, I am here for you. Even on your worst days, I am here for you. And we can do that while still setting limits and while still maintaining safety, but we always want to be communicating that I'm here. And I know that's hard. If you have extreme behaviors that are happening every day, the burnout factor is so real. The frustration that you are feeling is so real. And it's hard to still be able to communicate that to a child. But remember that that's what's going to get you through to the other end, and that's what's going to help prevent these in the future. So once behaviors have escalated and that child's kind of in that threat state, remember, they're not processing words right now. They're not understanding cause and effect. Our goal then is to continue to maintain boundaries and to start strategies for de-escalation. That's it. That's all we're doing. Get through this safely. Help the child de-escalate. So let's go through the steps for de-escalation. And actually, before we get to the steps for de-escalation, the first step, the like pre-step, is you have to control your own behavior first. An escalated adult will not help an escalated child. We need to get our mindset right. We need to be in control. We need to be calm. This is actually part of our de-escalation strategy we're going to talk in a second. We need to model calmness because that will help our child de-escalate. If we are in crisis mode too, we're going to have just like two meltdowns happening simultaneously. So the first step is get our own behaviors under control. So let's give an overview of how we de-escalate. First, we remove the audience. I don't know how many times, guys, I have been pulled into a behavior crisis and there are like six adults around the child. And I'm always like, my first thought, like to this day, is I'm always like, who's watching the rest of the class? Like, who are all you people? Like we're short-staffed until there's a meltdown, right? People are like the lunchroom manager's there, like a parent volunteer from down the hall's getting involved. Like, everyone's there. And it's like, oh my God, get away. And those people are well-meaning, right? They just want to help. But I'm like, also get away, right? Remove the audience, right? For a lot of kids too, this can be a source of embarrassment and shame later. So remove the audience. It can contribute to escalating the behavior, can contribute to reinforcing the behavior. So only get who needs to be there, let them remain, and get everyone else out of there. The second piece is give that child space and keep them safe. So that like one and two really go kind of nicely together. If you have a calm down area that has like soft mats or, you know, kind of padding on the wall, that's great. But if you can't safely get them there, then don't. Just give them space. And That means don't talk to them. Just be nearby and make sure that they're not, you know, banging their head onto the floor. Obviously, follow any crisis protocol, whether you use safety care, PCM, or CPI. Those are all different restraint methods that you can get certified in. All of those methodologies focus on a preventative method first, but they also teach how to safely, you know, in a crisis, make sure that child doesn't hurt themselves or others. But in this second step, you're just going to be nearby and make sure the child doesn't hurt himself or others, but do nothing else. And that's hard. I mean, I'm a talker. I mean, like, I have a podcast here. Like, I talk and I'm ready to, like, jump in and fix it. Like, I think we're all problem solvers too. We want to, like, help our kids. And I think sometimes we come in with verbal support too quickly, and that contributes to escalating the behavior or just doesn't allow the behavior to de-escalate. So number two, give them time, give them space while keeping them safe. Number three, now this strategy happens after we've seen a little bit of de-escalation, meaning maybe the child hasn't lunged at anyone, the child stopped screaming, the child stayed in one spot. We're seeing some type of de-escalation happen. They're not de-escalated yet, but we're moving in the right direction. Now we can move in with strategy three, which is offer coping strategy options. We're going to use choices. We're going to lean on visuals, whether that's written cues, picture cues, photo cues, and we're going to give some options for ways to cope and calm down. Things that are good coping strategies could be going on a walk, getting a drink of water, using deep breathing, a fidget, bouncing on a ball. Writing, journaling for some kids can be a good coping strategy. So those are some options that you can give, but it has to be with choices, right? When I'm really, really mad, I don't want someone to tell me how to calm down, right? Like if someone's like, oh, you're super angry, you know what make you feel better? Go running. Well, if you guys know me, you know I hate running, right? I'd be like, no, I don't want to go running. Or someone's like, oh, go get a drink. You're like, I'm not thirsty. Leave me alone. Like, you have to give choices here for this to be successful. And because our kids may still be in that, like, crisis, threat state, verbal language, we don't want to really lean on too much. So visuals, whether that's words or pictures, to give those options for coping strategies. Number four, divert or distract. This is where we kind of give our kids an out. Like, how does this end? Like, what are we doing here? It doesn't need to end on an apology. It doesn't need to end on, you know, let's go back and right in this moment, pick up the 7 boxes of puzzles that you've thrown. That could be an option down the line. That's a great logical consequence to use. But while we're still somewhat escalated, give that distraction, right? Give them an out. Be like, hey, you know what? Did I show you yet the new things I put in the sensory bin? Maybe we should go look at that. Or just something totally random, like, hey, you know what I had for breakfast? I had oatmeal. What did you have? It should be something neutral. It's not a demand. It's just something to, like, get them thinking about something else instead of the state they're in. It can be showing them something. It can be bringing over a toy or an activity. It should not be aversive. It should not be high expectation. Something that's really just a distraction and diversion to get them out of this state. And then the last step is to repair. We want repair to happen when the child is fully de-escalated. I think this is also a common misstep that we go to repair too quickly when the child's still escalated, and then we kind of go back to meltdown mode. Repair needs to happen later. It might be the next day even. If it's appropriate, talking about the child, about what, you know, happened, how you can support them differently, how we can prevent this in the future. We want to repair. You want to tell them you're not mad at them and that their feelings are valid. Being angry, frustrated, upset, all that's valid. How you respond to those emotions, we need to work on, right? But those feelings they're having are absolutely valid. That's all about emotional regulation. I'm going to do a podcast episode on that too. So much comes back to emotional regulation. But we want to validate those feelings. Say that I'm still here for you. I'm not mad at you. It was the behavior that was the problem, not you. Especially for our kids with a history of trauma, that's a really, really important message to send. So the repair is the last step, but it doesn't happen right in that moment. It can happen later. All right, that was my big picture overview of de-escalation. I did it in less than 15 minutes. De-escalation is such an important tool to have in your toolbox when it comes to effectively reducing problem behaviors. You want to respond effectively when crises happen, when meltdowns happen, keep everyone safe, and also not completely ruin rapport and relationships that you've established with your students. Within my new course, The Practical Behavior Approach, we go really in depth into this. As I said, there's a whole module on responsive interventions with a whole lesson on de-escalation with lots of resources and really, really cool downloads included. So if you're interested in learning more on that, definitely check that out. But be always on the lookout for these responsive strategies. The proactive ones for sure are great. That's where we want to lean. But we also need to know how to respond in an effective way when these big behaviors do happen.
Thanks for listening to the Autism Helper podcast. If you liked what you heard and want to hear more, hit subscribe. It would mean a lot to me if you left some feedback. Whether I'm working one-on-one with a student, doing a podcast like this one, or presenting for a PD, my goal is always to provide as much value as I can. So your feedback really helps me make sure I'm doing just that. If you have other topics you'd like me to cover, leave in the feedback or message me on social media. You can follow me at The Autism Helper on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Pinterest, or visit my website, theautismhelper.com. Thanks again for listening.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Having the right resources for your classroom is essential to making sure your classroom is running smoothly. At the Autism Helper Shop, we have all of the resources you need to make sure you have the behavior, communication, and curriculum supports for your students. Within our shop, we have adapted books, task cards, resources aligned to the VBMAP and the ABLES, behavior plan flowcharts, data sheets, curriculum, everything you need, whether you are an early childhood teacher or a high school teacher. We have all of the resources that will meet those students' needs. So head over to shop.theautismhelper.com to check out all of our resources.